Hi, welcome to Niche Upon a Star. How are you? How's your week been? I have had one of those weeks where I've done some brave stuff. I've made some changes in my business. I am looking for new opportunities and I've been quite sort of open about that. I put some stuff out there into the ether and I was really surprised at what came back. And I don't know if anyone else, any other freelancers out there, are finding it harder than it has been. And I have been in business 6.5 years. I don't rest on my laurels. I definitely work hard to promote my business, but I feel like I've been peddling and not getting very far. And I've been inspired lately by some other female freelancers who have been taking a different approach. And they've been putting it out there in a much more straightforward and open way. One of those people is Lizzie Davey, who is today's guest.
So for me, it was purely organic. And I think it was like with each new client, I could see what was needed in the industry. Yeah.
Now, Lizzie is first and foremost extremely successful, extremely open. She has a very diversified business. She is all about charging what she's worth. She, in this episode, talks about how she increased her prices, found clients who really value her expertise, and took her business into six figures. She's doing well for herself, but she's also one of those people who leaves the ladder down, and she wants to help other people figure out how to get more money, more clients, through better processes, through better marketing habits. And Lizzie is, she's very savvy, but fuck me, she's hardworking. I think all of those things just make her super likeable, because not only is she the real deal, but she's also helping other people. And she's being completely transparent about how she does that. And that's one of the things I really like about her. I'm excited for this episode. I think there's a ton of value in it. And yeah, get a pen ready, mate, because it's Lizzie Davey. Lizzie Davey, you are so many different things online. You've got so many different strings to your bow. The thing that you're most well known for is being an incredible copywriter. And you have got a niche in your copywriting. And you're very sought after and you provide really high quality blogs. But you've also got a few other things going on. And without putting too fine a point on it, you're doing rather well for yourself, aren't you?
I think so.
When you started out, I'm assuming you didn't charge very much. And I know nowadays that's not the case. Tell me about that part of your journey and how that went for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I started, I think the first piece I ever wrote, I charged, it was like £20 or something, and it took me about 6 hours to write it. And I was just overjoyed that I could make some money from writing, because I just didn't think that it was at all possible. And I think over the years, I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years, so it hasn't been like a quick evolution and my prices haven't increased kind of very quickly, but it has been like a long old slog over 10 years. To keep up with, first of all, like industry standards. I know when I first started out, blogging was very much, it was kind of like a black hat SEO situation. So there was lots of keyword stuffing, lots of like writing content just for the sake of writing content, which I absolutely hated. So throughout those first few years, I was constantly trying to find ways that I could get away from that and still earn money. And that's when I started writing kind of more long form narrative pieces for brands. And I think for me, that's where the money is, because obviously anyone can write a keyword stuffed blog post. And that's even more prevalent now, obviously, with AI, which I think a lot of people have seen over the past couple of years. So for me, it's all about, yeah, finding the clients who value an expert opinion, somebody who's got kind of on the ground experience with the industry, which is why I think having a niche is very important, and also like weaving in stories to pieces as well, so not just writing like what is X, why is X important.
Your point about how you have placed more value on your product, you're saying that what you're doing now is fundamentally much more fine-tuned than when you started, and it's not keyword stuffing. And did that come from within you as you went along? did you just grow yourself in your own confidence? Because I know I've spoken to some people who had coaching and I've spoken to some people who did courses, but it sounds like from you this was just an organic process of you becoming more specialized, more skilled, and naturally placing more value on yourself. Is that right?
Yeah, so I have never had a coach, and I haven't taken any courses to do with freelancing and etc. So for me, it was purely organic. And I think it was like with each new client, I could see what was needed in the industry. Yeah. So it was case
Love
of,
that.
Oh, this is work. This works really well here. This is what people. And I think a lot of the time clients don't know what they want until you get closer and closer. And then they're like, yeah, this is it. This is what we want. And then obviously there are other brands that want that as well. So it kind of branched out from there.
I can relate to that. I feel like the more I worked on my business and the less distracted I became by other stuff, the better I got at in terms of my own confidence at what I was doing, but also how I tailored everything to the people I was serving.
I think the more you work in an industry and with clients that fit kind of a similar mold, the more experience you get with what they want, what they need, what their audience wants and needs. And I feel like I'm pretty well placed now to at understanding like what exactly what these clients want. Whereas when I was starting out, I had no idea. Like I had no experience. I'd never worked with any clients before. So I had no idea even how a freelancer client relationship worked. Whereas now, kind of 10 years on, everything that I've done before has led to this point, kind of like a little series of experiments that have ended up where I am now.
Experiments.
Yes.
And that's how it feels as you go along.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Is an experiment.
So do you feel proud of yourself? Do you feel like you've reached where you wanted to get to? Did you always have this drive and ambition?
Yes. I always say that I've peaked too soon because I feel like where I am at now was my end goal when I was like 10 years ago. This was my end goal. But obviously it's only 10 years later and I've still got like 40 years of working life to go. So it's yes, I am proud of myself, but also it raises the question of what is next? Like where do you go from here?
That's right. I mean, that is the inherent problem with goals, isn't it? Is that you set yourself a goal and then you get there. And then what? Mm-hmm. And that's
difficult. It's always what's more, what's next, yeah.
That's
right.
And
it's really difficult for me to just sit and be content with it because I've always been the kind of person that's like seeking out the next thing. And I can't sit still and just enjoy things. Like I'm always trying to find the next thing to do. Hence
that's
why
right.
Everything is so diversified.
Right, okay. So there are so many distinctive things about your business. I think the first thing is how transparent you are about money, and I love that. It's very inspiring for other freelancers, and it's great to hear how your journey has given you confidence in placing value on what you do, which is totally right. The other distinctive thing about you is that you're not just a content writer. You've got some other stuff going on. What else have you got going on?
So I also run Freelance Magic, which originally started as a travel blog 10 years ago and has now evolved into a website of resources for other freelancers. Off the back of getting loads of emails, loads of questions from freelancers as I was kind of coming up through my journey, and I wanted to create a space that I didn't have when I was starting out. I don't think there was anything like this when I was starting out, which probably would have been really useful for me, where people can find out not just like how to get clients, because obviously that's really important, but also how to like organize your business internally and how to manage multiple projects at once. Because for me, those are the hardest things about freelancing, like juggling 5 to 10 projects at one time.
You're being very transparent about all of this, not just about what you earn, but also about how you got there, and you're helping other people up. Is that coming from a kind of a desire to help a community? Or are you just trying to, are you being clever about it and you say, no, I want to have multiple streams of revenue? Or does this come from something bigger than that? Is there like a purpose behind it for you?
I think it's a bit of both. So obviously it's always nice to have a diversified income. I think as business owners, it's really important to not put all of your eggs in one basket. And I think if the last couple of years is anything to go by, it can be really rocky, even if you've been doing it for years and years, things can change in an instant. So I'm always an advocate for kind of having your fingers in lots of different pies. But I think the main driver, the reason I started the offering the resources and downloads was purely because I think freelance is great, but it's difficult to, there are so many difficult parts to it. There are so many moving parts to it that we just aren't taught. And like, my ultimate dream would be to go into schools and be like, look, you can run a business too. And,
oh my God,
the only
yes.
options aren't to become a teacher or to become a police officer.
Thank you.
Or go to university. Those aren't the only options.
Absolutely. I mean, I was a teacher for 10 years and I was so frustrated when I was teaching that we were not teaching children how to actually navigate the world of business. And now I actually run my own business. By God, was I right? Do you know what I mean? That schools are not educating children about this type of stuff. I mean, you don't really need A-levels, degrees to do this stuff. All you need is a kind of nous, which you have in abundance and you're willing to share. So you've said that it's a mixture of having lots of revenue streams, passive income, but it's also coming from a desire to allow people to not make or have the difficulties that you made, that you had, or make the mistakes that you maybe did. What was it like for you in the early years of freelancing before you had it all figured out? And I'm using that in inverted commas because I know that none of us have it figured out. How was it for you when you first started out, and what things did you find particularly challenging? You mentioned the juggle as being like one of your major headaches. Is that something you struggled with, or was there some other stuff that you couldn't quite, you know, take to straight away?
Yeah. I think for me, the hardest thing was going from an employee mindset to running my own business, because I was still young, but I'd been in a full-time job for 4 years before I went freelance. And I was just so used to answering to somebody else, to kind of laying out everything that I've done. A couple of the first projects I worked on, they actually recorded my screen while I was working to see what I was doing. Yeah, and I was okay with that. I was like, yeah, sure, fine. That's absolutely fine. Like, why would you not want to see that I'm doing the work that I say that I'm going to do? So I think for me, in the first year, the absolute hardest thing was stepping out of that employee mindset and seeing like, no, this is my business. I don't have to say yes to clients calling me at 9 p.m. on a Saturday demanding edits then and there. True story, that did actually happen. And I was like,
I can believe
yes,
you.
Of course. Let me just stop what I'm doing and open up my laptop and do those edits for you at 9 p.m. on a Saturday. So yeah, that was definitely the hardest thing for me in the first year. And then I think as the years went on, those challenges changed. I think now I'm like, I call myself unemployable now at this point, because I feel like I would just not be, I mean, I'd be great at doing the actual job, but not like asking to if I can go on holiday or asking for permission to do things. Like, I just don't think anyone should have to do that regardless of their job.
Where's Lizzie going?
Yeah, like I'm off now, like 11 a.m.
Yeah, finish, mate, see you later.
Yeah. But yeah, I think those challenges, they just evolve over time. And then once I started getting like a really busy workload, it was the juggling multiple clients that I struggle with and context switching throughout the day. So when I was earning like pennies per piece, I was writing, I don't know, maybe like 4 to 5 pieces a day, which is wild for me to think of now.
Oh.
Yeah. That going from like one and being like, okay, I only have like an hour or two to write this, otherwise I'm not going to be making any money, and then going straight into something else. I don't know how I did that, honestly, but
yeah,
the context switching, juggling multiple clients. And I think now, 10 years on, my biggest challenge at this point is the whole what's next, like where do you go from here, which is why I'm kind of experimenting with lots of different resources. I've been doing lots of trainings and workshops, more resources, experimenting with different services. So yeah, I'm just trying to see what I enjoy and what sticks at the moment.
Amazing. And so the thing that you found hard was juggling. It was workflow.
Yeah, exactly.
That. And is that because you couldn't switch off and it felt like it was always on?
Yeah, I think even now I struggle with that, to totally switch off. I mean, I'm pretty good at boundaries now, as in like I will not work after a set time and I don't work on Fridays or the weekends, but I'm still thinking about it. I'm not totally switched off, and I don't think we can ever totally switch off if we're running our own businesses. But yeah, the workflow was really difficult for me to manage in the early days, and I had absolutely zero systems. So I was basically doing whatever each client wanted me to do, and they're all different. So I was using loads of different communication platforms, loads of different project management platforms, and it was all just total chaos. And yeah, I because I'd been working that way for so long, it was really difficult to then go back and start again from scratch.
That's right. And now that you've figured it out, did you feel compelled to share that information?
Absolutely, 100%. Like, that is why Workflow Wizard was born. And I originally wasn't going to launch it, because I was like, this is really boring. Like, this is a really boring product. It's not fun. It's not glitzy. It's not glamorous. But I had a lot of people ask me, like, how are you managing this much work? How are you managing this many clients? Because I'm quite open that I regularly work with between 8 and 10 clients a month, sometimes more. So it was kind of born from that. And yeah, it's been really successful. It's been the most successful resource that I have launched to date. And I think that's a very telling thing.
See, what's interesting to me is before this call, I had in my head, I really want to talk to her about all the different bits to her business. But listening to you talk, it's really clear that your kind of gift is that you listen really well, and you listen to your community well enough to produce a resource that they needed. And you've listened to your clients well enough to produce content that is extremely compelling. And actually, I think that's a really great skill to have as a freelancer, is to listen. And I think it's one of the most important things about marketing as well, is if you're listening to your clients, then you can ultimately charge more money and you can provide a better service. And if you're listening to your community of freelancers around you, you can understand how to differentiate yourself. And in your case, it is that you can juggle just so much more, whilst also delivering it to a really high standard. But you've said several times that you don't know what's next. And is that something you're struggling with at the moment? Because I know you've just bought a house. So in many ways, you're at the pinnacle of kind of, I imagine, what you set out to do in the beginning. And now you've reached somewhere you never thought you'd get to, or maybe you didn't think you'd get there so quickly. And now you're there, you're like, now what? Which I bet is something people can relate to as well. So what's going on right now that you're kind of uncomfortable with? You're trying to set your next 10-year goal and you don't know how to go about doing that.
Yeah, exactly. I think the last 10 years have been so wild, so varied, and so it feels like they've been 30 years, not 10 years, because I've done so much in that time. But then, like I said before, it feels like I've peaked too soon. I mean, I'm 34 this year, and it feels like I'm basically now at the point my dad was when he retired. So that's like, this was the end goal for me. So now I'm kind of forced to think, can I continue doing this forever? Do I want to continue doing this in the same way that I'm doing it forever? Or what can I do differently? What else can I try out? Because this is probably why my entire business is so diversified, is I get bored very, very easily, and I have to keep trying new things. That's always been the case for me. So I'm now kind of thinking about what I want to do next with the content writing business, and also with Freelance Magic and those resources, whether I want to focus more on one or the other, and what that might look like going forward. And then obviously with the house in the mix, it is a fixer-upper. So my plan this year was to kind of take my foot off the gas a bit with work so that I could focus on the renovations. But I don't know if I'm capable of doing that. So we'll see. We'll see.
So you haven't taken your foot off the accelerator yet?
Not yet.
You're still pushing.
Yeah.
And is that just, that's you, is it? You're just, you like to push forwards. And by the way, can I just please say that internally, I've been nodding so hard to everything you say. We are so similar. I'm exactly the same. I just push and push and push and push. And I cannot switch off because I don't want to. And I love what I do. And I get so easily distracted and I just love the next thing. And it's wonderful. Yeah. But it is hard to sort of put it down, isn't it? Especially when it's, you know, your creation and your business and your things. Do you think you can find some time this year to put it down, or is that impossible?
I think this is like what you said is resonates with me, because I love it. Like, for me, it doesn't feel like work. So
yeah.
I think even if I had a job or something else, like, I would still be doing some version of this on the side. It's not like, oh, this is my job, I'll go and I'll do it and then I'll come home and do the house renovations. Ideally I'd do them both in tandem, and my partner keeps saying to me, why don't you like start an agency so that you can just oversee and do that? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's a nice idea, and for a lot of people that would be great, but firstly, I'm a massive control freak, so I don't know how well that would go down, because the pieces that I write have my name on, like, their byline to me, and I'm very particular about what's published with my name on. And also, like, I never came into this to manage other people. Like, I don't want to be a manager. I don't want to be responsible for other people's livelihoods, as bad as that sounds. I don't think that is a skill set that I have, and I don't want to. Like, I love the writing. The writing is what I enjoy the most, and so I want to keep doing that if I can. And it feels like kind of starting an agency would remove me from the bit that I love the most. So it seems kind of counterproductive. But I am experimenting with some kind of variations of the agency setup this year for some clients, just to see what it might look like in action. It just feels like such a huge leap to make that change. And I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. I don't know if it's going to work. So it's kind of like, I don't know, an obstacle. And I know that, like, at the moment I'm trying it out and I'm experimenting with like small versions of it, which is fine. But like, that's completely different to it being on a bigger scale, to stepping away, not completely, but stepping back a lot more than I already am, which also is very difficult because my company is called Lizzie Davy Limited. So it doesn't help that I have basically built the brand around me, so that's also food for thought as well, like what that would look like moving forward. And part of the fun for me is trying, like I said, trying new things. So I'm excited about trying out new services, a new business model maybe in the future, and also seeing how easy it is to balance the content writing, freelance magic, and also the house renovations. It's going to be fun.
I'm sure that whatever you turn your hand to, whatever route you take for your business, you're going to have success because of the way your approach, which is, I think it's a problem solving approach, isn't it? You dive into it, you reflect on your own work and what you're doing, but you're also trying to solve other people's problems at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find solutions. I always ask everyone the same question at the end, which is, if you could go back to the beginning and give yourself some advice, what would it be?
If I could go back to the start now, I would absolutely start with systems and processes from the get-go, so that I wouldn't be so overwhelmed and everything feels so chaotic later down the line. So that would be the one thing.
Systems and processes. I mean,
as boring as it
sounds, it's important, isn't it? It's not boring.
Yeah.
I think a bit of workflow wizardry is probably what we would have all started with. And
yeah,
Lizzie, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
And that was Lizzie talking about a range of things. But crucially, what I took from it was that she's using listening as a bit of a superpower in her business. She's listening to her clients, she's listening to her community, she's listening with intent, and then she turns all the stuff that she's learned by listening really well into resources or improving her business, and she's constantly improving. But talking to her, you know, about her next step in the next 10 years, it sounds like she's also doing some problem solving herself at the moment, where she's reached this pinnacle that she didn't think she'd get to so quickly. She's now faced with, what does she do? Does she create an agency? Does she stay as a freelancer? Does she stay writing the content? Does she manage a team? What does she do? And it's, I think we talked about it being kind of like a good problem to have, but it is also a genuine problem for her, because she's got there so quickly, because she's worked so hard. And it's a real inspiration, you know, because it's really nice to see people doing really well, but it's also wonderful when they're willing to be open about how they got there and share all of the things that they learned along the way. What a great interview. Thank you for people who have left us some nice reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening to this and you have time to chuck me a review, I'd be extremely grateful. And what else should I say? I suppose I should do some promotion here, although I find it a bit icky, but I'm trying to be a bit less icky about things. My business, I am kind of open for new clients at the moment, and anybody who onboards in May, I'm going to do a buy one, get one deal on your first piece of content with me. And if you're interested in working with me on creating a kind of nice flow of content within your business, I've got a brilliant team around me now, and we're looking to grow the business. And if you want to be a part of that or have a chat with me, you can go to leancontent.co.uk and find out more about what I do and how I do it. And see you next week. Bye bye.